Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed, where I am joined, as always, by our intrepid idiots. Say hi, intrepid idiots.
Hi, intrepid idiots.
Sorry, Dimension 20.
Sorry,
Dimension 20.
I'm Grim.
I'm Zolgar. And joining us today is, you know what? Just introduce yourself.
I am the beautifully bearded guest Cody, and also the biggest Star Trek fan currently on this podcast.
Yeah, but I'm a bigger Terminator fan.
I'm gonna level with you. I've only seen a few episodes of TNG. I just thought I'd get you guys going for a second.
Setting phasers to kill.
Also, unfortunately, you need to be a little bit more specific about beautifully bearded, because all of us are beautifully bearded here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on my own podcast, I was the only one with a beard. That's how I caught the name there, because we just started throwing shit out there. And it kind of worked, beautifully bearded co-host Cody. You know, it sounds nice.
All right. Before we get started, we do have a very important question for you.
Would you like to be an idiot or a dog?
Okay. So, since we're talking about Terminator today, and this goes back to an episode of RDA, I would like to be a Doberman, but also like a cyborg Doberman. What I would want to enhance would be the legs and the jaw.
Yeah, I think we can work with that.
I just want to be able to sprint really fast and, like, rip off, like, legs at the bone at a moment's notice without any problem.
Also, admit it. You want a robo-dog dick.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm surprised you assume I don't have one.
And on that note, here's a quick warning. This is an uncensored podcast, so you may hear adult language or other content not suited for children in the workplace, church, or, frankly, human consumption.
Especially with Cody on board.
Especially with Cody on board.
It's the only way I could come on your show, because otherwise it'd be bleeps and, like, cut down to 30 minutes.
All right. So this week, our topic is the Terminator franchise. This actually was kind of a joint decision between Cody and myself, because, well, Cody is a little bit of a Terminator fan.
Okay.
If you have an idea for a topic for us, you can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote in the topic poll on Discord. Now stand back.
Because the idiots are about to be unleashed, and I think they already have been.
All right, the script says episode contents go here. What does that mean?
Do we talk about the things?
I guess we can talk about the thing.
Not talking about the thing. We're talking about Terminator. The thing is an entirely different movie franchise.
Oh, I had my wrong notes brought up. I thought we were talking about John Carpenter's The Thing. Shit, and it's like 7 sequels. My bad.
No, we're talking about Terminator, and
it's about 6 movies.
It's right? It's 3 sequels, and then 2 sequels, and then a retcon that reboots some of those sequels. And I was joking with Grim recently, because I was actually going through and rewatching all of the Terminator films before doing this, and I was like, here's a challenge for you. Watch the entire Terminator series in chronological order.
I just answered with the Jordan Peele sweating gif.
Okay. I mean, if we're going to talk about the franchise real quick, because I put a lot of thought into this even before this podcast, do you guys have like a definitive ranking for these?
I do indeed.
All right. Do you want to go?
Sure. So my ranking is Terminator 2. Okay. Terminator and Dark Fate are tied for ranks 2 and 3, because I love them both for different reasons. Then comes Terminator Salvation, Terminator 3, literally anything else that exists in the Terminator franchise, anything, I don't care, Terminator Genesis.
Okay.
You know that one little blurb that wasn't entirely canon on the back of the action figure container? Yeah, that's ranked higher than Genesis. Better quality.
I once had a bowel movement that slightly resembled Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm like, damn, that is a better Terminator sequel than Genesis.
All right, Grim, what's yours?
I believe my ranking more or less mirrors yours. I believe the big sticking point is that you and I disagree on what order Salvation and Terminator 3 should be in.
Oh.
Salvation is the better movie. but Terminator 3 is the better Terminator movie.
I disagree on that. There is plenty of Terminator in Terminator Salvation.
Before we get into that, could I do mine real quick?
No.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I'll be quiet.
Where the hell do you think you're here? You're just here to make us look good. Shut up.
I'm just here to hang out with the dog, but she's not showing up, apparently. No kaiju.
Kaiju.
Fucking liars.
Kaiju has, in fact, snubbed us. It's
supposed to be two idiots and a dog.
Well, it is still two idiots and a dog. It's two idiots and a robot dog.
That's true. That's true. Actually, I could go with that.
Arf,
I'm going to come up with a name after this.
Bork. Bork.
All right.
Bork.
So, for Terminator, I would have to go with the first one, followed by the second one. This one was really tough, but I'm going to go with Salvation, Dark Fate, 3, the shit that I took that looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then Genesis.
All right.
We all hate Genesis, don't we?
Everybody hates Genesis.
I went into it with a fresh mindset, because, like, all right, the first act, I really enjoyed what they did, like, what they were setting up with the first act, but then it was like, hey, everybody, you know the thing you loved? Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know how much I hate Genesis?
How much?
I have never seen it, and I never will. I know enough about what happens to know I want nothing to do with it.
I can't blame you for that.
Like, there's a lot of movies out there like, well, no, you can't do that. You have to actually go watch it first. No, not with Genesis. There's one scene in particular, one thing they did. And I went, yeah, no, I don't need to see that.
Was it? I mean, obviously we're spoiling it, right? Everyone knows that.
Yeah, it was what they did with John Connor.
Yeah, the Connor of it all. Thank you.
Just a quick note for anyone who may somehow not have seen the Terminator franchise. There is quite possibly spoilers for any and all of the movies, and I will try to avoid any spoilers for Sarah Connor Chronicles, but it may come up, and I apologize.
I don't.
I mean, at this point, I should have seen the show, so I'm not worried about spoilers.
I mean, okay, let me put it this way. Here's the fun fact about Terminator spoilers. It doesn't matter because there might come out another movie next week that retcons everything anyway, because time travel.
Yeah.
And honestly, Terminator is one of the few franchises that I am cool with them being like, and you know what? No, we're changing everything because it is an entirely time travel franchise about changing the future. So the movies screwing with the timeline makes sense.
I'm fine with the timelines being screwed with. What I'm not fine with is literally the second and third act of Genesis. That is, out of all of Terminator, that and the TX just magically enhancing our boobs when the cop's coming up are the two gripes that I really have.
I love that we have the exact same gripes about the franchise as a whole.
It's so dumb! That's all right, look, Terminator 3 itself is not a bad Terminator movie, but it's like the comical choices they make that make it more slapstick and, like, comical and tongue-in-cheek, where I'm like, all right, guys.
And the thing of it is, the choices they made with Arnie work, because he's established.
Yeah, and he can play it, like, dry and stone-cold, like, humorless.
So, him, you know, like, doing the talk to the hand callback.
Throwing on those pink sunglasses star
and
things.
And he reaches up to get the sunglasses, and we're like, oh, here it comes. And it's the pink star stripper sunglasses.
Right.
And he just, like, takes them off again and, like, throws them aside. Like, that works with Arnie. He's established. The boob gag? Really? You guys went with a boob gag?
I get what they were going with for it.
But, like, subjectively, she's an attractive female already, and you're like, well, I guess they'll just enhance the boobs based off this billboard. It's like, what are we doing here, man?
I mean, they could have done the same joke by her looking up at the billboard and just, I don't know, lowering the zipper or something.
Or, like, just morphing her face ever so slightly. Anything but just, like, random boob enhancement.
Yeah, listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I have seen those boobies.
Okay.
They are nice boobies.
I don't doubt that.
It was the only redeeming quality of the Blood Rain movie, and it wasn't enough.
I have not seen it, nor do I intend to.
It's a Uwe Boll joint. Don't bother.
Oh, that fucking guy. Postal, though, right?
Postal was exactly what it should have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, Postal was fantastic.
It's the only one he got right.
I hold the distinction of never having seen an Uwe Boll movie, and I intend to keep it that way.
Okay, but I'm going to gift you the Postal games, or at least a Postal game if you don't have them.
Postal no. 2.
Yeah, I'm going to get you Postal 2. Postal 4 is too expensive.
It will be a massive waste of your money because I have no interest in playing the Postal games. I know enough about them that it's not my style.
Don't go breaking my heart. All right, anyways.
You don't want to drop kick a fucking diseased cow head into people as a bioweapon?
You don't like using a cat as a silencer for your weapon?
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I think my favorite part about Postal is that it's just such satire about, like, America as a whole that it cracks me up in, like, such a way. Sorry, this is not a Postal podcast.
Yeah, no, this happens. We get off on tangents, but,
Back on Genesis, really quick, because that's one I think we're going to talk about a lot, because, well...
It was shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, one of the things about Genesis for me personally is I really like the concepts it sets up at the start. I love the idea of this whole thing of, you know, sending back Terminators before the original movie and then that completely changing things. So when Kyle Reese shows up, you know, instead of being this helpless waitress, Sarah Connor is now an absolute badass and, you know, flipping the script and her being the one to use the come with me if you want to live line.
Yeah. And she's been going around like bumping off cybernetics with Pops or Schwarzenegger, you know. And so that's kind of like it gives her a lot of validity, which I really like. And the first act, like I mentioned, I love because like, even when Kyle Reese comes back, they kind of redo the beginning of the first movie, which is my favorite. And he does like kind of all the same beats and then they change it up, which progressed really well until they traveled forward in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything in Genesis, every concept in Genesis that was worthwhile was done better in Dark Fate.
Yep. Dark Fate is fucking up. Dark Fate fucks.
Yeah. Dark Fate is great.
Dark Fate fucks your mother, and you thank Dark Fate for the privilege.
Oh, man. My mother is currently buried, but I don't like the image. Thank you, dick.
That's what I'm here for.
I even have a dark joke about Genesis. I ended up ordering that movie, like sight unseen, just because I was really in a Terminator deep dive. And this was, like, around the time that, you know, my mother was starting to get ill and all that. And I watched Genesis, and, like, I remember very few specific things about that time, but how much I hated Genesis is still burned in my brain alongside that same memory. The movie was so bad that I'm like, yeah, my mom died like a week later, but also fucking Genesis, man.
Right?
I watched that a week before for comfort. It was so bad that I felt worse.
That movie is so bad, it killed your mom. No.
it retroactively gave her cancer. It was super fucked up. That's how toxic Genesis was. If it makes you feel any better, listeners, my mother appreciated dark jokes, so she would probably approve of most of these.
Also, we're terrible people, and if you haven't figured that out by now.
That's true. I sold my soul for a Snickers, and quite frankly, it wasn't even good.
You know, I have indisputable proof that the devil doesn't exist, or at least if he does, you can't sell your soul.
Yeah, I tried.
How many millennials would absolutely have sold their soul by now?
Yeah, all I have to do is point at millennials. That's it. That's all.
I know people who would genuinely sell their soul for a Snickers and not think twice about it. And
yeah, I mean, not for nothing. Like, I have on paper a really good career, and my you know, my fiance, soon to be wife, has the same job. We still can't afford a house. Like, that's just not obtainable for us. And theoretically, we should be set for life with what we have. But because, you know, gestures at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rad. It's totally rad. Kind of makes you hope that Terminator Salvation happens.
Yeah, hey, Skynet or Legion, I'm not picky.
Or Meta.
Step it up.
Yeah, hurry up. Come on, Zuckerberg.
Meta would be the dumbest Skynet.
But wouldn't that make it easier?
But here's the thing. Meta is basically Genesis.
Right. Well, that or Twitter. Social media.
Like I said, the dumbest Skynet. Did I stutter?
But can you imagine those robots? It would be it's like a Karen robot coming out of the corner. That would be so easy to take down.
I want to speak to your manager. Except we're allowed to shoot them.
Or a magnet at that bitch. It's, look, I've said this since the beginning of Robots Don't Age on episode 1, where I talk about the first Terminator movie. All you need to invest in are giant magnets. Problem solved.
No.
No?
Because at least the T-1000s seem to be resilient to magnets.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you gotta figure out what to do with the T-1000s then.
On that one, you gotta freeze them and then, like, burn them.
I mean, I'm sure you can figure out a way to, like, mass freeze, like, an infantry unit of T-1000s. But I'm not the man for that.
Well, acid also works on T-1000s, as we see in Genesis.
You can probably do that. You can figure something. Oh, God, Genesis.
Stop bringing up Genesis. God.
Can I defend
Every
Salvation?
Time we start actually enjoying ourselves, you bring that shit back
up. We have to talk about the thing that literally killed my mother, you dick.
Yes, yes, we do.
Okay, so can we talk about Salvation, please?
Again, Salvation's not a bad movie. It's just not much of a Terminator movie, in my opinion.
I know that a lot of people really do not enjoy Salvation for a variety of reasons, because it's not like the hunted, you know, cat and mouse thing that happens in Terminator movies, but what I enjoy about it is that it's like a war movie in the Terminator universe. You keep hearing about the future and how fucked up it is, but, like, this actually shows you what's going on. It shows you people being rounded up, and it gives you, like, that backstory that's only been hinted to.
Yeah.
Plus, you get so many more versions of Terminators and, like, Skynet robots that really helps expand what you see in later things like the Terminator Resistance game that I fucking love.
The problem with Salvation is that there is nothing that John Connor does that couldn't be done by a completely different character without upending the movie.
Yes, there is. John Connor takes over the Resistance when basically the Resistance commanders fall for Skynet's trap and get themselves all killed. John Connor is shown to be the actual leader of the Resistance, not the guys hiding in the sub. It's him that we see that multiple times.
John Connor takes over the Resistance when Deus Ex Machina wipes out everybody else in charge. You're not doing yourself a favor here.
It's not Deus Ex Machina, because anyone who knows anything about Skynet knows that Skynet is smart enough to set that trap up. When I first saw Terminator Salvation, I saw that coming. I saw that the signal they had was a trap.
And I would like to say that, like, from the get-go, you kind of see that John Connor is, like, he's on the field with the men. He cares. He's doing more of the groundwork. So it would make more sense that a lot of the people trust him on more of, like, a face-to-face basis than what I assume is just, like, some blowhard guy who's never actually seen combat.
But he doesn't do anything that another character couldn't do.
No one in any movie at all, period, ever, does something that another character couldn't do.
He does absolutely nothing relevant to the plot other than take over, which...
He does! He goes to Skynet when Marcus goes in there, and he rescues Kyle Reese. He does plenty of things relevant to the plot. He is not the main character, no. But he does plenty of things that are relevant to the plot, and also the final act of Terminator Salvation is very much a Terminator final act. It is absolutely a final act of a Terminator film.
They even have the T-800s, man, old Schwarzenegger. I mean, look, obviously it's going to be subjective, but I will say that in the rankings, I still hold firm that, like, Salvation gave me a lot that I wanted from the Terminator franchise that I didn't get elsewhere.
Problem is, everything I enjoyed in Salvation was everything not John Connor.
That's fine. Christian Bale can suck it.
Here's the thing. Of the entire Terminator franchise, of all of them, John Connor is actually only the primary protagonist of 2 of 6 movies.
And now that I think about it, when have you ever had a likable John Connor? 2, maybe? Because he was a kid? But then 3, he's like this weird guy robbing, like, vets and stuff.
Dark Fate.
Dark Fate, yeah.
Well, Dark Fate where he gets...
I mean, because he gets blown away right away. You're probably right. That's the best version of John Connor, because it's the most tolerable one. He's right out of the picture.
I actually liked Christian Bale's John Connor, personally.
I don't know. I think his dad's better. Kyle Reese is just my man.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Reese is a better character.
Marcus was a better character.
Oh. Marcus is great, and I love... I love Marcus, and I love the concept of the perfect infiltration unit that is externally human, has a lot of the human features, and firmly, fully believes it is human. It's, I mean, Salvation has that aspect of asking the question, what is a person?
Damn.
It's a great movie. Just not really a Terminator movie.
Yes, it is.
Not really.
I mean, it's more of a Terminator movie than Dark Fate, because in Dark Fate, John Connor just gets killed right off the bat, and Skynet doesn't exist in Dark Fate. Therefore, Dark Fate is less of a Terminator movie than Salvation.
Damn. I mean...
Did you hurt yourself reaching for that? Did you pull something?
Which is okay. In more Terminator movies? Skynet or John Connor? Which has a more important role in Terminator movies? Skynet or John Connor?
Well, I could argue that, like, any sort of Terminator existing still means Skynet's a thing in some form or another, right? Because otherwise, why would the Terminator be there? Like, in Dark Fate, I mean, they went back to get rid of another Resistance leader, but it was Skynet that sent it back, right?
No, it was Legion.
Oh, Legion. Fuck's sake, this franchise.
Full timeline reset. But Legion is basically Skynet with a different name. Because.
But it's not Skynet.
I get where you're coming from. I get where both of you're coming from. Because, like, the Terminator films themselves, outside of Salvation, is mostly just being hunted by a Terminator, which all of them except Salvation is. But Salvation has more of the stuff that you could point to and be like, yeah, that makes a Terminator film. It has Terminators, it has Skynet, it has John Connor, it has Kyle Reese. Like, it has the things that you would check off in a box. But if I'm going to say which one feels more like it when viewing, it would be Dark Fate, because it has that aspect.
Here's the thing. I love Dark Fate. I think it's a great Terminator movie. I am using Grimm's own stupid logic against them to point out that they're, oh, well, it's not a Terminator movie.
No, you're not. You are using false equivalence, which is a logical fallacy.
No, I am using your exact logic. Your logic for Salvation is that John Connor doesn't play an important enough role, therefore it's not a Terminator movie.
If your movie has John Connor and doesn't immediately kill him, and John Connor isn't part of what makes the movie worthwhile, it's a bad Terminator movie.
But still, at least Skynet is there, and Skynet is the unifying factor of all other Terminator movies. It's not John Connor. It's Skynet.
Skynet is Legion. Legion is Skynet. You're being a semantic, pedantic asshole.
Legion is not Skynet. I mean, that's like saying, oh, well, then just,
The BSAA is basically Umbrella. Resident Evil? Anyone?
Right. Except it actually is now.
Yeah, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Watch a Terminator. You've seen them do the whole flip. Chris works for Umbrella now. There's no logic. It's the same with Terminator. You just throw shit at the wall and people watch it.
I mean, that's it with all franchises. Terminator, Star Trek, Star Wars, MCU, Alien.
Here's what I'll disagree with. Slasher franchises generally know what they're doing because they're allowed to be that goofy.
Except here's the thing. The slasher franchises usually don't start out super goofy. They start out as a more serious movie, usually.
Oh, yeah.
And then by about the 27th film in the franchise, they're just like, so what if it gets struck by lightning while being bitten by a radioactive scorpion.
Okay.
In space.
I get where you're coming from, but I can tell you roughly where, like, each horror movie franchise jumped the shark. Child's Play would have been part 3. Nightmare on Elm Street would have been arguably 4 or 5.
Nightmare on Elm Street jumped the shark the very first film.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street's fucking fantastic. How dare you?
I didn't say it was bad. I said it jumped the shark.
I dug the idea of a dream demon, though. Like, that's a really cool concept if you don't know where the franchise kind of ends up going.
Bear something in mind. Of the, like, classic slasher horrors, would you like to know how many I have seen?
Probably none.
Not quite. Okay. I have seen Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th Part 2, and Nightmare on Elm Street.
So once a year, I tend to go through all the major and some minor horror series because I like to build up to Halloween. The Chucky TV show, by the way, is superb. But like, I could probably point to roughly any franchise where the fans were like, wow, what the fuck are we doing here, guys? And I feel like with Terminator, there should be three.
It's just most franchises after a certain point.
The third Terminator movie, I think the biggest problem with it is, at the end of the day, to me, Terminator 3 is a weak rehashing of Terminator 2.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying, like, I consider myself a creative, but I'm not saying I could have inherently done better or come with a better story given the time, but, like, Terminator 3 didn't feel like they were trying. It just felt like they knew they could slap it on something and have an attractive woman. They're like, here we go, everyone.
Yeah.
And they thought it was going to sell.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least Genesis, for all of its flaws, all of its huge, humongous, massive flaws, tried to do something a little different. It failed horribly, but it tried.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Technically speaking, and if we're being purely technical here, Dark Fate is a retelling of 2 as well.
But it's enough variance.
It's enough variance, and it had to be a rehash of 2 in order to set up the new timeline.
And I'm really hoping we get a sequel to Dark Fate.
I am too. And if we don't, I swear to God, neckbeards, I'm looking at you. This is your fault if we don't get a Dark Fate, you whiny little shits.
I have two comments. I want a Dark Fate sequel, and I want a sequel to Alien Covenant. If not, the demands are we will burn down the entire state of Ohio.
I could go without Covenant, to be honest.
I want Ridley Scott to finish his vision, damn it. He just needs one more movie. I just want to know how it ends.
I would accept a Covenant sequel because Covenant was actually a pretty solid movie. The biggest problem with Alien Covenant, to me, is that it tried to be, or it was, a sequel to Prometheus. And Prometheus had some inherent flaws that led to Covenant also having flaws within the Alien franchise. Covenant's not a bad movie. It really isn't.
Covenant's, all of the things that make Covenant suck are Prometheus.
Yeah.
I enjoy both those films, but I know, like, at least from what I've heard, the issue came to, like, after Prometheus, they were like, well, people are mad because this Alien film didn't have xenomorphs. So then the next one, it was just kind of, like, ham-fisted in. And I feel like, I don't know, kind of same with, like, Aliens. I love Aliens, but I feel like Ridley Scott might have had a completely different direction to go in if he would have had his choice. And I feel like that's kind of what happens with these.
Prometheus and Covenant have left me with only a single question. And yes, we're horribly off topic at this point, but... And that single question is, like, let me rephrase, a single question that I actually want the answer to, that I actually care enough to want to know the answer to, and that is, why did the engineers create us and then suddenly decide they wanted to wipe us all out?
I mean, God with Noah's Ark, man.
Like, what the fuck?
I think that's the exact analogy where it's like he kind of did one of the biblical things. Where it's like, well, we fucked up. Guess we got rid of this.
Here's the other thing for me with Prometheus and Covenant. I don't want to know where the xenomorphs came from. The xenomorphs are much better as this unknown, terrifying entity that you don't know how it came to be. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how more are out there, how many more are out there. Yeah. Whereas when you suddenly find out that, oh, it was engineered by a cyborg after finding alien technology, and it's just like, no, it's just the explanation of the xenomorphs, it sucks, honestly.
It's anytime you try to explain something like a xenomorph, you're just gonna inherently fuck it up. Just don't explain it. And that's one of the mistakes, bring it back around on topic, that's one of the mistakes they made in Terminator 3. Ha! Now we have to keep all that shit in there, so this makes sense. They explained Skynet. Oh, well, it's actually online. It's a distributed intelligence, which is a cool concept, but the execution was just stupid as fuck.
Yeah, if they really wanted to get people, they would describe, like, they would hide themselves as, like, a Pornhub. Everyone's gonna go to Pornhub, you just hide something in there, and then, bam, your phone becomes a Terminator. Done. I know I'm reaching. I was just fucking around. Like, I was trying to think of, like, something that everyone would access that you could easily get everyone to go to without worrying about it, and porn came to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, also just social media.
No. Come on.
Amazon.
Amazon and Disney Plus.
Hey, Amazon is a soul-sucking piece of shit unless I'm self-publishing a book, in which case you can find Respire on Amazon. R-E-S-P-I-R-E.
No, Amazon is still a soul-sucking piece of shit because it is absolutely a toxic, horrific environment for self-published authors because of their return policy on ebooks, and that needs to be fixed because if it's not, people are going to start a hate bombing authors they don't like, and literally costing those authors money. By the way, Cody, what was the name of your book again?
Respire. R-E-S-P-I-R-E. You can get the ebook and return it, guys. It's fine. I'm not going to pay Amazon.
Yeah, until Amazon sends a couple of Terminators to break their kneecaps.
Yeah, they can try the best they can, okay? Wait, say Terminators? Oh, fuck. Better than them have not tried, actually.
I mean, listen, I'll be honest. Out of the companies out there that would actually create Terminators, Amazon would do it before Meta, to be honest.
Yeah, that's probably more concerning. That or the SpaceX dick.
I mean, they're already getting into pharma.
I can explain exactly how Amazon creates Terminators. It's a very simple logic. They're already experimenting with drone delivery. Now, I don't know about you, but if I see a drone flying overhead with an Amazon package, I'm going to think, hey, you know, I could go get my shotgun and, hey, free package. So they're going to have to start armoring the drones, and then they're going to have to give the drones, like, non-lethal deterrence to stop people from trying to steal packages.
And then when Amazon finally reveals that they've been an evil global conspiracy from the start, the weapons stop being non-lethal. Easy.
I mean, guys, you know those Boston Dynamic dogs, right? The dancing ones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they literally already put guns on top of similar models, so, like, we're already there with the company.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. I mean, it's basically happening, just not currently in the country we live in.
I mean, so here's what's going to happen. Amazon is getting into pharma, and then they're going to just buy Boston Dynamics, and there you fucking go.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Boston Dynamics exactly that's doing the robot dog thing. It's another company with the same model. But I get your point. It's going to be all sorts of hell. Just like basically Terminator was like, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't do the robot thing. And a bunch of fucking people with no media literacy was like, oh shit, look at that robot doing a thing. That's so rad. We should do that. But cap it so it can't become smarter. But they fuck up because that's what happens in literally every goddamn movie.
Yeah.
This was a warning, not an instruction.
Yeah, kind of like in the Terminator franchise where Sarah Connor goes up to Gustavo Freeman and she's like, hey, you can't make this motherfucking Terminator, you know, in T2.
Well, I mean, she shot him first, so.
Well, look, sometimes you gotta pop a warning shot off at someone to get them to do what you want. That's why I'd never have to pay a parking ticket.
I mean, is there still a warning shot if it goes through you?
Yeah. If you don't hit a vital organ, it's a warning shot. Everyone knows that.
Exactly.
Note to self, don't let Cody take the warning shots.
Look, when we start our futuristic cyberpunk compound that we're forced to live in because, you know, gestures at everything, you're gonna want me to be the guy on the tower taking warning shots, because I will cripple a motherfucker just to be sure they're not a threat.
That's not how you make friends.
Wait, is that the goal?
You need friends to survive in the dystopic apocalypse.
No, you gotta have all your friends in the compound beforehand.
But, you know, you need more people. You need more people.
There's absolutely no way in hell your circle of friends is going to include everybody with all the skill sets you need to survive a dystopic apocalypse.
Okay, but look at it this way. If we take the misery route and we just, like, cripple them, they can't go anywhere.
Right. Cody's not allowed on the tower.
I think I need to go with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier line. He's right. He's out of line, but he's right.
Look, I've always joked that in the apocalypse world, like, you just need me to make the hard choices. I'm not a sociopath, but, like, I don't have practical skills. So if you're like, hey, this is arguably the better thing for everyone here, even though it's, like, morally a terrible decision, I guess you gotta do it. Like, you gotta look after the immediate area, man. In a world where, like, everyone's gonna cut your throat, have we learned nothing from The Walking Dead? It's just Rick Grimes showing up to fuck up your community every time. The Walking Dead is just seasons of Rick Grimes fucking everything up for a community, and I feel like that's just going to carry over to any other apocalypse.
But you still need, what you need to do is have an onboarding process, and you need to have people with skills, and you need a lot of redundancy in skills, because, okay, you have one person who can fix cars. Well,
that person just got capped by a drone.
Or they're not even dead. They were climbing down from their shift on the watchtower, and the ladder broke, they fell, and they broke their arm. So they can't work on cars right now, at least not as efficiently, because they only have one arm.
And then they were shot by me. It's horse rules, right? You break a limb, you got to put them down.
Why do you not, like, I feel like, I mean, I guess it depends on what cap you're looking at, too, because if you're looking at, like, what's the population on Earth at the moment? What's your colony like? Can you afford to have apprenticeships? Can you afford to have people that work generally in farming? I mean, there are a lot of variables there, I suppose.
I mean, I'm going to say right now, unless you have a physical disability that prevents you from doing so, everybody takes a shift farming. That is just priority
one. Right, but what I'm trying to figure out is, like, the amount of people you'd need versus figuring out the food, the climate that you're at, and then you kind of go from there. But, I mean, let's say we're in the Terminator world, where, you know, drones are hunting you. Like, how would you guys try to go about surviving?
Oh, that's easy. I don't.
I mean, same.
I take out as many fucking tin cans as I can, and I die.
I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
Oh, you say that now, but you're just going to be harvested.
I'm just going to shoot him, like, immediately as soon as the Terminators roll out. I'm just going to shoot him.
Do you guys think I have any desire to stay living? Do you really think I actually care about continued existence? I don't care about continued existence in this shithole world we live in. So if we hit a apocalypse scenario where I don't have internet anymore,
or the internet itself is trying to kill you,
then whatever wants to kill me is more than welcome to.
I mean, assuming I'm alone in this scenario, it's kind of the same thing that I said in a Robot Stone Age episode of The Stand, where, like, I talked about I would probably just, like, hole up with as much, like, mind-altering narcotics as I could, and substances, like, go hog wild, and then the first sign I see someone, I'm killing myself or them. I'm just opting out of this. Like, oh, they're gonna do terrible things to me. Bye. Like, dead set, if the world falls apart, I don't think anything good is gonna happen.
How the fuck did I wind up the optimist here?
I don't know, man. I mean, you gotta ask my doctor. I mean, I might have to up my Zoloft again.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, we know me.
Oh, yeah, but, like, you would think in a circle of three, I would still manage to not be the optimist.
Okay, on a serious note, I guess if it was, like, the Terminator world, current circumstances, my fiancé's still alive and I know people, I would probably stick to, like, mostly hiding and scavenging and trying to get out of cities, hit her up a rural area, don't use anything electric or electronic, and have, like, a contingency in place in case they show up. I don't know, you have to be, like, really the far fuck away and probably underground, because they have drones in Salvation.
Yeah, I either have a support network of some kind, a underground hidden compound that I am a member of a community that I help support and in turn help support me, or I die. I have too many health issues.
I'm gonna live like a hobbit.
Like, there's a difference between, like, the zombie apocalypse, I do okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Move quietly, stay out of sight, and
avoid heavily crowded areas.
I can actually outrun most types of zombies for a brief period of time, long enough to like, lose them.
Right. But if you're looking at Terminator.
But something that is indestructible, has way more endurance than I ever will, and also can use a gun. Nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not surviving that. I'm sorry.
Like I said, invest in giant magnets. Your entire house should be surrounded by magnets. It should be so strong that when a car comes by, it yanks the car towards your yard. I'm just saying, you gotta be ready. I don't really have much more for the magnet bit, and I apologize for that. It's been a running gag on Robot Stone Age.
Well, if it's been a running gag on Robot Stone Age, you should really have more about it, because, well,
frankly, I'm disappointed. Just get out.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that if you just want to defeat a Terminator, you just need giant magnets. Like, literally, it's the easiest solution. Get a tow truck, they start coming towards you, you suck that fucker up, you just wait until he's, like, on the magnet. I don't know what you can do at that point. If it doesn't short-circuit him, then just walk away and let him just be there.
It's actually, what you can do is very, very easy. At least if it's specifically Terminators.
Throw a cup of water on them?
No. Not vulnerable to water. They sink, but they are not vulnerable to water. We actually specifically see this in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
which you would know if you had watched it.
Man, it's almost like I can't make a fucking joke. Anyways.
But here's the thing. If it's specifically Terminators, we know where their chip is. And their chassis are not completely bulletproof, so even if we can't open them, we just get a moderately high power rifle and put a couple of bullets through their chip.
Okay. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on which version of Terminator, too. Like, I'm assuming the T-800?
Yeah, I mean the 800 line.
The standard metal skeleton fuck you robot.
Like the type of salvation shit you see, like at most, is a T-850.
Here's the thing. Dealing with them is actually relatively easy. You just need the gear. Just zombie rules, man. Go for the head. And if you can't go for the head, take the head off. The problem is, they're made out of metal. That's the tricky part.
So you gotta figure out how to get through the metal.
And here's the other problem with taking the head off. That doesn't actually completely destroy it. At least in some models, the T-888, as we see in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yes, I know, I'm going there again. But that one actually continue to function without its head until it recovers its head.
Well, I mean, once you remove the head, it's from there, it's not terribly difficult to destroy the head.
That's true. If you yeet the head, it can't see, and then you can just kind of go from there.
It has a way of finding its head. I don't know how it works, but it does.
Well, it can find its head all at once, but if you shove the head into, like, a duffel bag and then throw that duffel bag into, like, a smelter.
Yeah, or, like, even if you just happen to come across it, like, on an interstate and you fucking throw it into a cornfield, if it starts going towards the head, you have a head start to either leave or cut off the limbs.
You have a head start.
Ah,
listen, yeah. Listen, decapitation is how you get ahead in life.
That or actual head, but, you know, it never helped me.
You don't want robot head like that, chafes.
Yeah, it hurt. There were they're not even teeth, it was just metal.
No, there's teeth. The Terminators have teeth.
Well, the problem was is that I was really drunk and it was actually a tractor.
Yeah, that would not be very pleasant.
It was not.
I mean, I imagine that actually the robot head from a Terminator would probably actually be pretty decent because they are pretty solid infiltration units.
Rev 9 or nothing.
God. And I guess it's sad in editing if I'm keeping any of that. Jesus. Oh, then again, we opened with dog dicks, so I don't know anymore.
This is why I had to warn you. Like, I miss podcasting so much and I love being chaotic. I just need to know where the line is.
Yeah, because currently Robots Don't Age is on hiatus.
And it's been well over a month.
Well, congratulations, Cody. You just wrote the line. We didn't have one before you.
We literally have a commercial on our podcast for the term poop noodle. Do you think, like, that's why I wanted to be on the Unleashed podcast. This is going to get really fucked up. We're only like 45 minutes in. I'm sorry. I'll try to tone it down.
I hear no remorse.
I'm just laughing because I didn't realize it was that bad because usually Keanu's the one pushing the envelope.
Yeah, of the people on Robots Don't Age, Cody is actually a little bit more mellow.
Yeah, I'm pretty tame compared to the other two.
Terrifying.
It's Keanu has the nickname the Kinky Co-host.
Yeah, CJ's the Dong Master.
Good God.
Oh, God, I love that response. I want to use that for a blurb.
There's not enough rum in this Cherry Coke.
I'm so glad that on the second episode that you had a guest, I really managed to push the limit.
Yeah, we're not that bad. I mean,
oh, shit.
I don't know. I might have to actually cut the ground beef thing.
Okay, that's fair.
So where were we?
Were we anywhere? Really?
Yeah, we were at Mouth. Sorry. So out of all the Terminator models, which one do you guys like? What's your favorite version of Terminator?
Rev 9.
Rev 9 is my favorite, but the 1000 is the one that scares the shit out of me.
Okay, I can get that.
The Rev 9 is more terrifying than the 1000 because the Rev 9 is a 1000 on an 800 endoskeleton.
Yeah, and it can separate, too.
The endoskeleton is actually what makes the Rev 9 less terrifying for me.
But the Rev 9 can be in two places at once because the Rev 9 is actually technically two Terminators, sort of.
Yeah,
but it's basically the 1000 and the 800.
It's the 1000 by itself is, yeah. The 1000 still terrifies me more. The Rev 9 is cooler, though.
Okay. I mean, I've been partial to the T-800 myself, the original model. Mostly because, like, in the first movie, I really dig the man versus machine aspect of it. Whereas, like, later on, you get, you know, Schwarzenegger helping. So it kind of takes away from, like, the real challenge that came with the first film.
Yeah. In the later movies, it's always machine versus machine, and it just... It does kind of change things a little bit, because how many times can you shoot a T-800 and knock its limbs off and things like that, where any one of those things would debilitate a human combatant.
Right. And it's not that it's not fun seeing, like,
that's,
you know,
that's why you use zombie rules.
Exactly. Take off the head. Throw
shoot
it
in the head
damage.
With a high caliber rifle. Done.
But I do, like, I get, like, the T-800 or the T-850 going against, like, multiple versions of Terminator. It's really fun to see, because it's, like, brute force versus whatever he has to go against. But there is something that's more charming about, like, the human trying to figure out, showing up with literally nothing, finding a gun, finding clothes, and, like, trying to save this one woman. That kind of adds a little more.
Personally, though, I really enjoy the aspect of the machine trying to figure out how to be human.
Okay.
We saw that a little bit in T2. We really saw that in Dark Fate.
Yeah, Dark Fate was great.
I love what they did with him in Dark Fate.
And we actually also do see that in Genesis.
Yeah, kind of.
Like I said, Dark Fate is Genesis, but actually done right.
Well, like, Genesis, he's blending in as a human, but he doesn't have a family per se. He has Sarah Connor, but he doesn't have, like, the wife, the adopted son, doesn't have the home and the job. He's just doing, like, more Terminator shit, but with an adopted daughter a la, like, Last of Us or any other, like, Mandalorian. Grumpy old man with an adopted child.
Yeah, in Genesis, it's more of this. He still has a mission and becoming more human to an extent benefits his mission. Whereas in Dark Fate, he no longer has a mission, so becoming more human kind of became his new mission.
I mean, he was a robot who completed his mission and entirely on his own.
Learned to love.
Through the act of finding a new mission, which was protecting his new family, decided he needed to, like, you have to understand that he, as a robot for himself, because Skynet's gone, he's not receiving order updates anymore. He invented penance.
Well, yeah, because you're right, because he was giving Sarah Connor heads up on where to find more Terminators. Like, that was something he decided.
For John.
Exactly.
It wasn't just penance, but he also, he realized that in killing John Connor, he took away Sarah's mission.
Yeah.
He made Sarah where he was after he killed John. Basically, he rendered Sarah's existence pointless. So in that machine way, he was like, okay, I took something away from her, so I'm going to give something back. I'm going to give her a new mission, a new reason to exist.
Yeah, and there's so many elements of it that, like, don't get me wrong, the whole man versus machine thing, really cool. But watching the machine try to be the man.
Yeah.
Dark Fate has so many amazing moments that are wonderful.
And amazing?
Yep. But for me personally, all the cool action sequences, all the really, really awesome stuff, the best scene with him is him sitting in the van soliloquizing about drapes.
I get that. That's a pretty great scene.
It's the best scene with him in the whole movie.
No, I disagree. I do agree that one of the best scenes is not all of the action, but I think it's when he's talking about his relationship. That comment that she liked that I could change a diaper quickly or efficiently without complaint. Just that.
I mean, that's a pretty low bar, but speaking as someone who like knows a lot of mothers and fathers, that seems about right.
Well, especially newly single mothers with a deadbeat baby daddy.
Or abusive baby daddy.
Oh, yeah.
In this particular situation.
Imagine showing up and you want to be an asshole, and then it's like fucking Terminator right in front of you and you have no idea.
You punch him, you break your fist.
Yeah, then he breaks your other fist quickly and out of spite. And it's going to be a tough go of things, you know? But no, like, all jokes aside. Yeah, the bar is pretty fucking low out there, but Schwarzenegger just kind of comes in, and I don't know exactly how he learned compassion and everything, but he seems to somehow build this relationship that is, like, I would have to assume asexual, right? Because I believe they cover that.
Our relationship is not physical.
Okay. So it's more of, like, an emotional support thing, and he helps her out, he has a place to stay, and, like, they probably sleep in the same bed. Maybe she cuddles with him, but I don't know, like, what... it's a very, like, platonic-ish kind of thing, on an intimate level. It's more emotionally intimate, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, that's... If there's any intimacy at all, it's emotional. That's kind of the implication we're given.
And that's lovely.
We are given the implication that there is emotional intimacy when they're leaving, and he is saying his goodbyes, and that's not just the Terminator going, I'm leaving now. It was especially emotional for his family, but there was a little bit of it for him too, in that this mission is complete. This is, you know, when he uses the line, I won't be back.
Yep.
Yeah, he warned her from the start, like, hey, this might happen at any point, but I'm here until then. And she just kind of accepted that, and they live together and grew together.
Yeah.
And he looks at her and he goes, the day I told you would come has come. And both her and their son know what that means. But you can tell that the son is just like, that's dad, and dad's going away, and he knows it.
Yeah. It's something that he's been prepped for pretty much his entire life. And even though he probably didn't want to accept it, like, this is him realizing his dad won't be coming back.
Yeah, this is happening.
God, Dark Fate is such a great movie.
It is. And that's just the good things with him. That's not even fucking Sarah Connor stepping out of that SUV on the highway. Oomph.
There is not a single version of Sarah Connor that I believe I've seen that isn't just, like, attractive. Even the crazier version, it's like, you know what? You know what you're talking about. Like, even, like, just Sarah Connor across the board is, like, this fucking insanely confident, over-the-top person. And even from, like, stepping out of there and blowing up that fucking vehicle, she's just, damn, on top of it.
The thing you have to understand, especially for me, is there is a component of my sexuality that is women who can kill me with their pinkies.
I get that. I mean, look, my fiance makes more money than me, and I love it. But yeah, like, Sarah Connor, just confident, badass, mastery of all sorts of explosives, weaponry, she knows how to fix vehicles, like, she's a survivalist. She has been doing this her entire life at this point, practically. And just to have her step out, I believe it was the original actress, right?
Yes. Linda Hamilton reprised her role.
Just fucking kick ass. Like, if I look at Dark Fate as a whole, I don't think I can find one thing that I really disliked about it off the top of my head. Which I could do with most of the other films.
Well, because one of the things is, outside of Salvation, the Terminator franchise really has always been at least partially about strong women. Even the original, it's not Kyle Reese that kills the Terminator. It's Sarah Connor. And we are set up that Sarah Connor, in the original, we are set up that Sarah Connor may not be strong yet, but she will be. She will be a powerful, amazing woman who has more strength than most people ever will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of the nice thing, too. Like, it even ends with her doing, like, I believe it's the end of the first one where she rides off towards Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, like, it even sets up, like, this is just her first act.
Yep.
And Terminator 2, Sarah is there and playing an active role, and she is strong. She is willing to do whatever she has to.
I mean, she's right there keeping up with the T-800.
Yeah, she had prep plans, she knew contacts, she had weapons ready to go. I mean, she knew this was going to come, and she was ready despite what everyone told her.
And she was holding her own in combat, even against an opponent that, up until that point, had capabilities she'd never even conceived of.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think there's no version of Sarah Connor that's bad, right? Even like in Genesis, that's still a very confident, strong, and straightforward Sarah Connor. So that's one thing that's consistent throughout the Terminator franchise, that Sarah Connor is a consistent character, more or less.
And then Terminator 3. Yeah, it focuses on John Connor, but there's also Kate.
There's Kate, and there's also Sarah's legacy.
Yeah, there's Sarah's legacy, but there is also Kate, who very quickly ends up being like, no, screw this. We are not going to just hide in a hole and wait. We are going to do what we can to stop this. We are going to go save my father. Now, and fails at that, but still.
Yeah. The whole Terminator franchise is just like America. It's just women trying to clean up, but like men fucked up already.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean,
look, I see you. It's like Kyle Reese. I see where you're coming from. That's a way to do it, but it's not the only way.
Like, the women in Terminator are so strong. I mean, you brought up Kate. We've got Danny in Dark Fate, who we know is going to get there, especially with Sarah tootling her.
What's the name of the cyborg that comes back in time to help her in Dark Fate?
Grace.
Grace is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Grace is awesome. And Sarah herself, every iteration of Sarah, even in the timeline where she dies, she uses her death to make sure her son has what he needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah, really all the females in the franchise, like we've been talking about, are like strong, great symbols. I'm trying to think of any other franchise at the top of my head that might have done that, except Alien?
Yeah, I mean, there's Alien, which...
Yeah.
Did you know that the original iteration of Alien, Ripley was actually supposed to be a man?
Huh. I'm glad they changed it.
Yeah, I mean, I do not think that franchise would be what it is if Ripley had been just another generic white guy action hero.
Yeah, I would care much less about it, I feel like, because like, the Xenomorphs are cool, but like that's probably what separated more from the rest of the movies.
Sorry, I was in my happy place.
Away from Terminator Genesis. Yeah, I mean, because you look at like Predator, it's cool. I love Predator, but it's pretty sure it's all males across the board for like the main heroes. But that's kind of what separated Alien from that.
So in the Predator franchise, there is a strong female character in one of the two AVP movies.
Oh, yeah, it's the first one.
And Predators, and I believe Prey, the main human is a woman.
Oh, right. Prey's coming out next month.
We'll see how much of a shit show that is.
I'm fucking hyped for Prey.
As long as it is better than The Predator, that's all I care.
I mean, that bar's in the dirt. Granted, that won't stop them from trying to limbo with the devil, so...
You guys, I'm a Resident Evil fan. If you look at the live-action entries, like, my bar is pretty fucking low for things that I enjoy at this point.
Reminds me, I still need to watch the new live-action series.
Okay, here's my quick take on that one. I like Welcome to Raccoon City the best. That series is right after that, and then you have the Mila Jovovich stuff, which is there. It was first, and I give it credit.
It started strong, and then it just kind of...
I block out the ending of the ending of the second movie and the ending of the third movie in my head, because I forget how bad those get.
I have actually watched all of those films, and, well, I enjoy them, but I'm also not a Resident Evil fan, so...
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on the franchise. That's a whole separate topic. Anyhow.
So, we've kind of hit the point where we're rambling a lot. So I think I'm going to rein this in a bit.
Well, I got something for you guys.
Okay.
All right. You are in charge of remaking the original Terminator. Who are you casting? With one specific caveat. none of the original actors want to reprise their role. They can cameo, but they are not going to retake their original role.
So you're asking us who we would put in one of the pivotal roles?
In all of the pivotal roles.
Yep. The main three, at least.
Okay. For the female lead, just because I really loved her in Underwater, I'm going to go with Kristen Stewart. I think she has the chops to pull it off at this point.
Bold choice.
I mean, she's proven herself to be an actress, and even her and Batman, Robert Pattinson, don't even like the Twilight movies. They wish to have a gig.
I know, but I'm not saying it's a wrong choice, just a bold choice.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? I'm just going with what I can think of. Let's see. If I was going to go with Terminator, maybe that's just because, like, I'm fresh off The Boys, but Jensen Ackles could probably pull it off if you keep him doing the eyebrow stuff. If you haven't played straightforward, I think he has the chops to make, like, that kind of T-800 thing work.
That's one I hadn't considered. That's an interesting choice.
Again, bold choice.
Yeah, Kyle Reese is going to be a tough one. Because I really, like, Kyle Reese is definitely my favorite character in the franchise. I got to figure out how to rail that in.
Well, I have a suggestion for you, but I'll let you do your casting first.
I mean, what's your suggestion?
I mean, if you've got Jensen at that point, you might as well get Jared.
That feels too much like just fan casting and fan service. See, I'm hesitant to say, like, Robbie Amell, because he couldn't pull off Kyle Reese, but, like, I just really loved him in Welcome to Raccoon City. He did a great Chris Redfield, but,
I got one for you.
Okay.
Carl Urban.
Huh. That's an interesting choice. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. He could definitely pull off, like, a more modernized, darker version. You know what? Anthony Mackie. There we go. Anthony Mackie is Kyle Reese.
Black Kyle Reese. I like it.
I will do anything. I will watch anything with Anthony Mackie in it. That man is a fucking golden person. Like, I will go to hell for Anthony Mackie. He, long story short, there's a 48 hours Save Yorkie-thon thing that the Movie Crit podcast does every year. And he popped in and did, like, a whole thing for it. But anyways, Anthony Mackie, you know, love the guy. Seems very charismatic. Seems very lovely.
That could work.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
So you want mine?
Nobody wants yours.
I do.
All right. Sarah Connor. Zendaya.
Okay.
Kyle Reese. John Boyega.
Good, good.
And the Predator, or the Terminator? Yeah, the Predator. The T-800?
I would watch both of them.
Surprise crossover!
I always mispronounce his name, but Chiwetel, the guy that played the operative in Serenity.
I don't know if I'm familiar with him.
I mean, he's been in a lot of things.
He was in The Old Guard.
Let me see, operative.
Kinky Boots.
I do know him, kind of. I'm familiar with this face.
I mean,
yes.
He's in the MCU.
Yeah, he's Baron Mordo. He's done a lot of things. He's usually not a major role.
He's like a character actor, right?
Yeah, and
kind of thing.
He was also in The Martian. Most recent, or one of the most recent things for him is he is in the series The Man Who Fell to Earth on Amazon Prime, and he plays the title character Faraday. And that is what made me realize he would make an incredible Terminator, because he can do that just dead, emotionless stare and, like, the mimicry that the Terminators do, and he does it so well.
Okay.
Yeah, and there were hints of that in his performance as the operative.
Yeah.
So even without having seen any of that, yeah, he's got the chops. He could do that.
If I couldn't get anyone to play any of those roles, I do have an alternative casting, and I think it works across the board. Lakeith Stanfield from Sorry to Bother You, / Atlanta. Are you guys familiar with either of those?
I think I know who that is, but I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, never mind. I will give you guys $5 to watch Sorry to Bother You, because I fucking love that flick. It's so good. It is. I think you'll appreciate it on its own. But anyways, that would be a good, like, replacement for any of the three roles, I feel like.
Even Sarah Connor?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally on board for that. Are you kidding me? And why not?
John Connor's, it turns out, plot twist, John Connor's just been adopted the whole time.
Here's what happens. It's really just Kyle Reese and the new Sarah Connor. Like, they just mixed ejaculate into a tube. And then that's what creates the ultimate resistance leader.
God.
I'm the tame one of the three, by the way. I clean that up for this.
God in heaven.
Yeah, check out the Robot Stone Age podcast. We have like 53 episodes of mostly smut like that.
Do you see why I listen to it?
I hate you both.
Oh, I love you so much. I just want to come over and cuddle.
Bad touch! Bad touch!
So what are your picks?
Alright, so I actually have two castings. And one of them is more of a joke, I will fully admit. But it would actually be entertaining and funny to watch. So, Sarah Connor... Actually, I don't think I ever... I have one for this. So I'm just going to pull a name out of the hat. Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay.
The Terminator. Dwayne Johnson.
All right. That actually fits the profile. I'm on board with that.
Kyle Reese. Ryan Reynolds.
Damn. I mean...
It would be a terrible movie, but people would watch it.
Not Michelle Rodriguez for Sarah Connor.
Hmm.
If you're going with that casting, Gal Gadot.
Yeah, why not? Screw it. Just bring the cast of Red Notice over. Come on, let's go, guys.
Yeah, like as soon as you mentioned Ryan Reynolds, I'm like, I want to see it, but on streaming. I don't want to support the movie, but I want to see how it turned out.
So my actual casting, I actually cheated a bit and have put a ton of thought into this ahead of time. So Sarah Connor, Charlize Theron.
Okay.
She can do both sides of Sarah Connor. She can easily be the Sarah Connor we first meet in the original movie. Kind of that softer, finger quotes, normal. And we know she's got action chops. Atomic Blonde, The Old Guard.
Fury Road.
Okay, I've seen Fury Road. I haven't seen the other two.
You need to fix that.
Yeah, you definitely need to fix that. The Old Guard is amazing. It's on Netflix. And Atomic Blonde is also awesome.
So you know how you've got these, like, period action movies where, like, the main character, the protagonist action man gets into these fights and they're brutal, vicious, ugly fights where he's taking just as bad as he's dishing?
Oh, so he withstands the pain in this one, right?
That's Charlize in Atomic Blonde. She gets thrown down a flight of stairs at one point.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that one. I assume that was the direction.
And she came back up and was ready for more. So she's got the action chops.
Okay. I've heard great things about Atomic Blonde. I just haven't gotten around to it because nobody in my sphere really talked about it much.
But yeah, you need to see that one, and you definitely need to see Old Guard.
Okay, tell you what. I will watch one of those movies if you guys watch Sorry to Bother You.
I mean, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, you think that.
Looks like Sorry to Bother You is available on Hulu, so I may get around to watching it.
There we go.
I don't take Hulu, so you can get one of us to watch it. How's that?
I will settle. Look, this is a good compromise.
I despise Hulu.
All right, fair enough.
If it was on any other streaming platform, I'd consider it.
Just a quick note, there may be some background barking. We apologize for that, and I will be right back. I'm going to go see if I can get the dogs to shut up.
Yeah, finally we had the third co-host actually show up. It's ridiculous. I mean, our unofficial mascot's been sleeping this entire time, so I don't know what's going on with you.
Kaiju does as Kaiju wills.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty young, right?
I mean, she is the brains of this outfit.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same with my dog, except the fact that she doesn't notice when, like... I don't know. Maybe she is smarter than me. She knows when I'm getting ready to go to work, and that's usually more than I could expect from a dog. It's like, oh shit, you put on clothes, we gotta get ready.
Yeah. Whenever he does the con circuit, when he finally packs, she is just the most pathetic, miserable beast you've ever seen, because she knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
It's the same with the cats when we bring out the luggage. Like, oh, we got to hop in here. Where are you guys going? We coming?
She is, like, Zilgar is her person. 110%.
Some little shit was sitting, like, 5 feet from the fence on his bike, just tormenting my dog. Just sitting there to get her to bark at him.
Wow.
Cool. That sounds like unsympathetic kids.
There's a reason I fucking hate kids.
never having any.
I mean, what's the point in 20 years? It's going to be a barren wasteland of nothingness anyways. All right, so we're back.
Yeah, we got the boring apocalypse? What the fuck? We could have had cyber robot mutant cannibals. We could have had fucking zombies. We could have had alien invaders. Nah, we get the boring apocalypse.
We're going to get a drought.
We're going to get a drought and a pandemic that's never ending. Ugh.
Ugh.
The most boring fucking apocalypse.
We literally started the Robots Don't Age podcast because COVID was coming. And we're like, well, we can wait out like a year or so doing creative shit. Meanwhile, we went on 2 years and like, hey, COVID's still around. We have to get back to the other things that we've been doing.
Stupid real world.
Well, like, I missed filming and all that, but like, because of COVID and all this other shit, it was just hard to make time.
Yeah.
But then, like, I developed this whole Robots Don't Age thing, and I just genuinely love podcasting.
But, yeah, all right, so, Charlize Theron, Sarah Connor.
Who are you going to cast as Kyle Reese?
Oh, fuck. Come on, Brain. I was just going over this.
I know, it got sprung on me, too.
No, the thing is, I told Grim about this.
Like, I have put thought into this. I actually have a list, and I cannot. My brain will just not fucking work.
Sebastian Stan was your Kyle Reese.
Right. Sebastian Stan.
Ooh, okay.
Kyle Reese, because he can do the rugged, tortured soldier shit.
He is my favorite Marvel villain slash character for a while there. Love Winter Soldier.
So Sebastian Stan can absolutely do Kyle Reese.
Who's going to demand the clothes off the punks?
Your Terminator was John Cena.
John Cena.
Oh, but there's the problem. He wouldn't show up on film because he can't see him.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting.
Yeah, someone was going to do it. I just figured I'd jump on it now.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't do wrestling, so I didn't actually think about that. I forgot that was one of his things.
Look, John Cena is a person, an actor I love, but I stopped watching wrestling because I didn't like his character. That's the fucked up thing about it. He was such a shitty heel that I'm like, well, I don't want to watch wrestling anymore. But then, like, he showed up in things. I'm like, wow, he's such a lovable guy. Like, Peacemaker, just chef's kiss. Wonderful.
Yeah, he was exactly what he should have been in that one.
So, yeah, I could see him doing, like, a Terminator thing. That would be, he could definitely do, like, the straightforward. He kind of did in Peacemaker.
Now,
like, the dry humor.
What you do is, though, I have a surprise twist for you, my friend.
Oh, shit. Fuck, I gotta run.
In the third act, surprise second Terminator.
Okay. Played by?
So, Zilgar and I debated this one back and forth quite a bit. Because we both like the idea of taking... like, because if you're going to remake something like Terminator 1, we both agreed, you need to bring something more to the table.
A little bit of a twist.
And I was joking about... I originally brought up Ryan Reynolds jokingly as a second Terminator.
You son of a bitch.
That's how he ended up being my joke cast for Kyle Reese. But I just really latched onto this, the idea of this completely different style of infiltrator unit that has the charisma like we see from the Rev 9, making it a true surprise because it's someone we have already seen.
Okay. I have a slight twist of that one that would really throw off everybody.
So I went... we have both kind of agreed that the infiltrator would be posing as Silberman, the psychiatrist, for those that don't remember.
Okay.
And I decided on Lance Henriksen for multiple reasons. One, I'll watch that man in damn near anything.
Okay.
Two, it's a great cameo because he was in the original movie. He was one of the detectives.
Oh, is that the guy that, James Jameson kind of portrayed in Genesis, or am I wrong?
I genuinely don't know.
I don't think it was the same guy, but he was one of the detectives, yeah. He was kind of one of the side supporting characters that was dealing with the whole, like, multiple Sarah Connors being killed thing.
Okay, he was one of those guys. All right.
Yeah. But he was in there, so it's a great cameo from a member of the original cast. And that, of course, spun me out further into other cameos. Now, before I get into that, I will let Zilgar say what he thinks the second Terminator.
So I agreed that the second Terminator would be masquerading as Silberman. And because it works really well, because the only times that Silberman was in the same place as Sarah Connor, he does not have the chance to kill her. So, and he's not ready to blow his cover just yet. But for me, Michael Biehn. The original Kyle Reese.
Oh, shit.
And so what you end up with there is this, you see Silberman as, you know, okay, this older guy. You're like, wait, hey, that's the guy that played Kyle Reese. So you're like, okay, that's kind of cool. They got him as a cameo. And then all of a sudden, what the hell? He's a Terminator.
Third act surprise twist, he's a Terminator.
That would have been pretty cool. And it does definitely, like, it does the fan service that I feel like Genesis maybe tried to do with John Connor thing. But it's just adding in the actor as, like, a cameo who ends up being a Terminator instead of just being that exact character.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be pretty fucking cool. I would have really appreciated that homage.
Now, I personally would have had Michael Biehn cameo as one of the detectives, since I'm using Lance Henriksen for my Terminator, my second Terminator.
Right. I do have a pitch. Well, I guess if we're talking second Terminators, I might have an idea here.
I'll hit on that in a moment. I've got, because we still have, we have two people who deserve cameos.
Okay.
I thought it would be really funny if Arnold Schwarzenegger was the punk/biker John Cena gets his clothes from.
Agreed.
And we debated this one back and forth a little bit. And I think for the episode here, I'm going to finally settle on Lyndall Hamilton as the pawn store clerk. The one the Terminator gets the guns from. But Zulger had a different idea for her that I also liked.
So mine especially works really well if we have Michael Biehn as the Terminator. So in the second act, Sarah Connor is now on the run from the second Terminator and runs into a bar. Linda Hamilton is the bartender. The Terminator comes charging in after her. And bartender's just like, oh, this is, you know, abusive boyfriend, husband chasing her or whatever. And, you know, makes some comment about, you look like my ex, or you remind me of my ex, and pulls a shotgun out from behind the counter.
That would have been good.
Yeah. Like I said, you see why I liked it. But yeah. It does work better with his casting idea for cameos and stuff than mine.
I do, however, agree with Grimm's cameo for Arnie of being the punk that the Terminator gets the clothes from.
That sounds really good. Damn, I mean, I don't see a fault with either of your ideas. The cameo's a really nice touch. Especially, like, if Schwarzenegger was going to be the Bill Paxton role and, like, his clothes taken off and everything, that would be great.
And I would absolutely get Bill in there if he was still alive. Somewhere. I don't care where, but he would be in there. I would move heaven and earth to make that happen if he was still around.
If I'm not mistaken, Bill Paxton's the only man to be killed by a Predator, Terminator, and Alien, right?
Correct.
Xenomorph?
You are correct.
Beautiful, beautiful bastard. If I was going to swap out my original Terminator of Jensen Ackles or add a second, I just have one pitch that I think would throw everyone off and would be the best idea. John Goodman.
Oh, he plays a villain amazingly.
Oh, man. Fucking tell me, like, you see John Goodman coming at you, but at the speed of a Terminator, you would be terrified.
Him as the Silberman Terminator would be just... Because he does that heel turn villain reveal moment very well.
And, like, I deeply love, like, the idea of... Because, you know, if you look at the Terminators, everyone's fucking ripped. Everyone looks like fucking slick portrait movie actor. But if you add someone who looks more like modern, I was trying to think of a different body type who's also a great actor, like John Goodman could absolutely nail that fucking role because he's a fan, like, phenomenal actor, and he could play every version of that. And, like, him running at you full speed with a serious look in his face, menacing.
I mean, that's part of the reason why I went with Lance is because nobody is going to expect, because he's old now. He's, like, really old now. And nobody's going to expect this old man who speaks with this velvety, soft voice, because when Lance does the lean in and talk thing, he has this really nice, soft timbre to his voice that I really enjoy. Not a single fucking person would expect him to be a Terminator. Not when we already have our Terminator running around.
I feel like if you look at the current run of Terminators, like I mentioned, like, the least fuckable they are, the more likely they are to, you know, not be a Terminator. So I feel like you have to subvert the expectations. at least by like traditional standards, because if you look at, you know, the Terminators, they're all kind of thin cut. That's the beautification standard of, I guess, technically still the time. I don't know. I mean, Dark Fate came out like 5 years ago and still everyone was kind of lean and cut. So going off that, like, they make every Terminator look subjectively socially normal, standard fuckable. But like, if you throw in something that would mix it up, like a John Goodman type or like someone who's just like even mildly different than what they would expect, that would just throw the whole like gear in the wrench thing or wrench in the gear.
Yeah.
One of the things that I looked at when I was looking at recasting the Terminator, and specifically the Terminator, is I wanted somebody who was a little bit more normal looking than like Arnold Schwarzenegger or one of the wrestlers, because these are infiltration units.
Right.
I'm sorry. Arnie is not a good infiltrator. He is huge. He stands out. Whereas you have someone who looks a little bit more normal, like the Rev 9. The Rev 9 was an amazing infiltrator because he looked normal. There was nothing special about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, that's much more appropriate take on my opinion, which is like, if you make them look more like average people and less like fucking cut movie stars, then they would blend in better. Like, why would you not do that? I don't know what the machines are going off of with their timeline of what a human looked like, but it's clearly a little over the top.
I mean, one of the most effective Terminator units I have ever seen beyond the Rev 9 was Summer Glau, because she's just a small girl.
Yeah, she's just, you know, a relatively attractive, harmless-looking teenage girl.
You'd walk past her in Starbucks and not even think twice.
I would say, like, in terms of the best infiltration unit, even if it's not good, is the John Connor in Genesis, because I love that actor, but, like, yeah, he's not doing it for anyone that I know of.
Another one that was actually really good was the T-5000 in Genesis. That was Matt Smith. Matt Smith is, I mean, he's attractive, but he's not...
Did he play the cop? Or wait, hold on.
No, sorry,
I'll look it up.
He was the T-5000. He was the Skynet Terminator. He was Skynet, basically.
Oh, okay.
Officially, the designation of that model is T-5000.
Yeah, I see who you're talking about. Oh, and he did was it Doctor Who? He did some shit. He looks very familiar to me. I've definitely seen him in things.
Oh, yeah, he's Doctor Who. He's...
Yeah, he's a lot.
Okay.
He's done a lot of things.
Man, I feel really bad for shitting on people for their appearances in this one, actually. I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was just, like, convening the type of, like, every Terminator looks like a fucking porn star, like, cover model, whereas, like, if you really want to get in there, you would just have him look more like me, as opposed to, like, literally someone who should belong in a film.
Some fucking neckbeard wearing a taco-stained Batman shirt.
Right, like, I have a Deadpool comic shirt that doesn't really fit me with a grease stain on it that I still wear sometimes if I don't give a shit. Like, make that a Terminator, because no one's gonna look twice at that guy. He's just a fucking dweeb. Like, that's just what I do. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're gonna really make an infiltration unit, you want it to be, like, a guy that just kind of blends in and doesn't look like someone that everyone's gonna look at and be like, damn, I would like a tap at that.
There's lots of directions you can take with that, and... I will agree that as an extrapolation of what we've been discussing, I really feel like the franchise has underutilized the infiltration aspect. The Rev 9 hit it, though. Like, until he dropped all pretenses, superb infiltration.
Oh, yeah. I don't really have any notes about Dark Fate, especially like with the Rev 9. That was...
Well, we've been rambling for a while here. Zulgar, do you have anything else? Because we could ramble about Terminator all day, but that's going to be an editing nightmare.
This is already going to be an editing nightmare.
It is.
Love you guys.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm going to invent Skynet just so that I can send Terminators for you now.
The next time that we open up a podcast, I will invite you over. You can just do weird shit. It'll make us even. But it'll be maybe January.
Okay, I got one thing. I'm going to see if I can stump Cody on a couple pieces of Terminator movie trivia.
Okay.
All right. So the first one for you, this is an easier one. What is the only Terminator film to not use the line, come with me if you want to live?
Should be T1, right?
Nope.
Huh.
It's Dark Fate. In Terminator 1, Kyle Reese
uses Kyle Reese says it, yeah.
He says it to Sarah. In Terminator 2, the Terminator says it to John.
Says it, right.
In Terminator 3, John says it to Kate. In Salvation, Kyle Reese says it to Marcus. In Genesis, Sarah Connor says it to Kyle Reese. In Dark Fate, Grace uses a variant of it to Danny. She says, come with me or you're dead in the next 30 seconds. So yeah, it's not the exact line, but it's a variant. Damn.
I'm going to be terminated on this one. All right, go on.
All right. There was actually a model designation for what Terminator type John was in Genesis. What is that designation?
Stupid.
Well, yes, but...
It wasn't like a traditional like T type either. They named it something completely different. Man, you know what? I'm at a loss. Genesis is just the worst. I give up on that one.
It's T-3000.
Oh, God. So, okay. Anyways.
Okay, this last one should be an easy one for you.
I fucked up the last two. All right,
just what is stop the lowest designation of Terminator we ever see? Actually see in a film.
Oh, that's T1 in Salvation. It's the big hulky son of a bitch in the hallways.
Not Salvation. 3, but yes.
Oh, was it in 3?
Yes, the T1.
I thought it was, okay. I thought it was in the one of the things they run into in Salvation, but yeah, never mind.
I think the ones we see in Salvation are probably like the 400s.
Okay. Yeah, God, fucking 3 is just... The only thing that makes it slightly better than Genesis is that it at least has, like, the Terminator aspects. But anyhow, yeah, at least I got that one down.
Also, nanites cannot control cars that way!
Look, I mean, if we're going to start picking up franchises here and what really sucks, I could go on for another 2 hours, but I don't think we're here for that.
Listen, all I'm saying is, yes, cars have computers, but those computers do not control where the car goes.
Unless it's a Tesla?
Definitely not as of that film. Taking over the other robots? Okay, sure.
I mean, you look at, like, fucking Stay Alive. Like, it was a whole unrealistic video game killing horror movie, but it just kind of, like, was what uneducated people wrote at the time to make it fit the narrative. They just did the same thing with this. It's not good. It's just what they thought matched.
Yeah, but it was bad.
No, I agree with you, but I also like Stay Alive, so it's kind of a weird toss-up there.
And also, Cody, just so you don't feel bad, for the record, I wouldn't have been able to get the T-3000 question either if I wasn't looking at a Terminator wiki.
Yeah, like, I really had to think about it. I'm like, God, I don't care enough. Like, I thought she was the TX, but I could have been mistaken.
The TX was, Terminator 3.
Right, yeah, fuck. Mm. Yeah, I just... Anyways... You're clearly a bigger Terminator fan. Yeah. I'm the journeyman. I'll accept it.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're all just a bunch of idiots anyway.
Yep.
And that one is cyborg true. Dog.
Or.
Burp, burp.
Burp. All right, Cody, do you have anything you want to add to the Terminator discussion?
Let's see here. Terminator Resistance as a video game deserves much more attention than it gets. I mean, I know it kind of got shat on by reviewers, but like as a whole... If you want to be in the Terminator series and universe and, like, live through Salvation, more or less, you can't kill T-800s anywhere else that I know of. It's a very good game if you just shut your brain off and don't think about the mechanics. So, everyone go check out Terminator Resistance.
Did you know there's also a Terminator tabletop miniatures game?
I did not.
It did not last very long.
That also seems about right.
All right. Grim, do you have anything else you want to add?
I do not.
All right, so, Cody, before we wrap this up, how about you tell all those amazing people out there on internet land where they can find you, what you do, why you exist. Validate your existence to the internet.
Okay, so basically if you catch me on the corner of 4th and Presley, you can catch me selling Oxycontin. It's usually going to be a little stepped on fentanyl.
Your legal pursuits!
Oh, Oh, okay, okay. So,
God, you can narc on yourself.
You can follow. I thought you were a hooker, not a drug dealer.
I mean, depends what you're paying, baby. You can follow us on Twitter at @RobotsDon'tAge. We are a little bit of a hiatus, but that's because we're working on several creative projects. I do want to come back because, as you can tell from this one, I clearly miss podcasting. It's become kind of its own substance for me. I really love doing it, but in the meantime, just follow us there and we will keep you updated. And yeah, also follow Abundant Studios. That's just my co-host, Keani. She's on multiple platforms.
Also, why don't you tell people about the other things you do beyond podcasting? Because you're more than just a podcaster.
Lies.
Okay.
It's only podcasting.
So we do also have a series that's on YouTube, Who Asked for This? It's a series of sketch comedy that we've done. It's roughly, I think, about an hour and 10 minutes long altogether. Each episode's about 10 minutes, give or take, and we have about 6, if I recall correctly. And we've also done a series of short films. You can find that at Redlands Productions. It should be all over the place. I know it's on Facebook. We are on YouTube. You might have to look a little bit harder because my SEO is shit. But we have several things on there, a lot of horror films. And I also wrote a book. It's called Respire, as I mentioned earlier, R-E-S-P-I-R-E. And you can find it under my name, Cody, C-O-D-Y-P-R-O-U-G-H. And if you have any hate mail at all, send it to, I need to scapegoat guys. Who do you have?
If you have hate mail, you can go ahead and just send it to us at TIAADmedia@gmail.com. We'll make sure Cody gets it.
You guys need to designate a scapegoat.
You.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, no.
We can't do Athen because he's banned.
And also, of course, there will be links to all of Cody's various nonsense that you actually don't care at all about in the show notes. We're just doing that to make him feel good.
If it makes it feel any better, guys, I have 3 books that just need to be edited and it's ready to go.
I have about a million books that I need to write. I'm going to try to write comics, but we'll see if I can get anywhere with that.
So you send me your address, I'll show up once every other month and just bully you into doing something. I'll take a day off, I'll come over, I'll yell at you until you write, like, a sentence, and then I'll go home.
You do realize that you would not be able to get to Arizona and back in a day, right?
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I'll take vacation time next year. It's fine. Look, the important thing is, by bullying, I mean we're going to sit there, inhale substances that I can't legally talk about and drink, and then we will figure out something.
And I will mock you both. That's my
and
job.
And we will snort Xanax. I'm going to keep escalating unless you guys finish your plugs.
Drugs.
Methamphetamine!
No, meth, not even once. That's the one I'm hard no on.
Fair. I would also go heroin on that one. You know what? You know what, kids? Stick to like anything that grows out of the ground and maybe a beer or two.
Neither of those are the fun drug.
Okay. First of all, kids, don't do drugs.
Kids, if you're listening this far, what the fuck are your parents doing?
Your parents have failed to curate your online experience for you. I am sorry.
Someone dropped the ball. This explicitly marked explicit. This should not have been for your listening.
Now, adults, if you want to experiment with mind-altering substances, do it safely. Make sure you are aware of the dangers that each of them pose, and preferably have somebody on hand who is sober who can take care of you so you don't, like, decide to go wander out and try to hug the giant dragon that's coming down the street at you. You know, that's actually a semi-truck.
I know of a person who wanted to go walk on water, or at least thought they could. And I may have podcasted with this person in the past. They didn't do it because they knew it was wrong, but in their mind, they thought they could walk on water.
It was you, wasn't it?
No, I have
self-reporting confirmed.
I've taken a variety of things. Never acid, my guys.
The only things I've done are weed and alcohol, both of which are legal here in Arizona.
Acid is the one is like the only one I'm actually curious about trying, but legality and supply issues and money and anyway, TIAAD official stance is kids don't do drugs.
Adults, be safe about it.
I'm only here as a guest, so I'm not legally reliable for any of this, so I say, I don't know.
I can and will kneecap you.
I think we might need to cut that bit from the final episode.
I would straight up just say, like, bleep, like, certain large segments and keep the reactions.
No, I'm just going to remove them and keep the references in and just have people be confused. Like, ground beef.
Ground beef is a thing. Everyone should enjoy ground beef.
All right. That's it for this week. If you like what we do, please give us a like, follow, rating, all that nonsense in your favorite podcatcher.
You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi. You can find those and our social media platforms and Discord server in the show notes.
Also, be sure to give our friends some love, whoever the fuck that is.
I think this week, I knew who we were doing, and then I forgot who we were doing.
Guess we'll just have to check the show notes.
Yep.
Hey, everybody, this is Cody from the Robots Don't Age podcast. Be sure to check us out on all of your podcast streaming platforms and Twitter at Robots Don't Age. And I cannot stress this enough when I say do not start with episode 1. And if you do, please be reassured the quality does get notably better as we progress. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Last, but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
That's going to be Random Warrior, Rain, who I want to personally apologize to, and Athen, who is banned.
Yes, Athen, you're banned. Sorry, wait, no, it's not Athen, it's Athen Mortis, and he's banned.
Still banned.
And you know what? We're banning Cody, too.
Get out of here.
I mean, that's only fair to be banned. I'm the tame one, by the way, so...
You're still here? That's it. I'm calling the Terminators.
Fucking bring it. I have magnets.
All right, I am going to stop the recording now.